But the biblical way of describing repentance is a little different. You get a little free Greek lesson. It's no extra charge, because I know that you were really burning for that. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. And noia comes from the word for mind or intellect, anyway, our thinking, kind of our attitude, the inside of ourself. And meta is a transformation. So metanoia, the biblical sense of repentance, is a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. Before Jesus, repentance was a return to the observance of the law and reforming your life with a new attitude and a new way of thinking. But Jesus radically changed all that when he said, repent and believe the good news. He tied those two together, repent and believe. That belief is about a change of mind and change of attitude that adjusts us, that changes our behavior. By tying those two together, he makes one act of conversion. He's calling us to a deeper conversion. The good news is the kingdom of God, and we enter into it by faith. The change of mind is not about going back. It's about moving forward in a new way. That's our goal with that first key, to move forward in a new way. So three aspects of repentance and faith, three aspects of that first key. The first is conversion. Conversion is receiving the saving love of God in Jesus Christ. It's about making a personal decision to receive the Savior and live as his disciple. The greatest deliverance anyone will ever receive is surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. Conversion, that's the first part of repentance and faith. The second part is turning from sin. Sin is disobedience. Sorrow for sin is the beginning of repentance, but we shouldn't mistake sorrow or feeling regret for repentance. St. Paul explains this very nicely in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. He says, now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. You became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So that's what we're striving for, is that godly sorrow that brings repentance and leads to salvation, it leaves no regret. And we really see that in Unbound, even when we've had to do a little bit of a deep dive in some cases into some old experiences, and it brings up some pain, we find ourselves being delivered of that and moving forward in a new way, that we don't look back on the past with regret, but we look forward to the future with hope, and we feel our deliverance and freedom as children of God. So that's repentance. It's not about looking back or turning back. It's about being transformed and moving forward in a new way. Repentance is turning from sin without regret, guilt, or condemnation. Confession, and we'll have a chance for sacramental confession. There'll be a few priests available tomorrow during the lunchtime. Is an expression of repentance and is necessary for us to be right with God. Regularly confessing our sins and receiving God's forgiveness is part of the process of conversion and transformation. An honest confession brings with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we start to think differently about our sins. We humble ourselves and confess, and the transformation goes deeper, a change of mind that leads to a changed life. But there are a lot of people who come to Unbound who have confessed their sins over and over again, and they haven't been able to get into that real place of conversion, to see where the lie is, to see what's driving that sin at a deeper level, and to find freedom from it. So the third aspect of repentance and faith has to do with that. It's about exposing deception. Part of every sin is deception. That's how sin entered the world from the beginning. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve. Jesus turned this around when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He knew that we had been deceived. He asked for the Father's forgiveness for us in this deception. We know enough to be responsible, but we aren't fully aware of all of the implications of our sin and how deeply we are offending God, hurting others, and hurting ourselves. So the father of lies has his hand in every sin, because every sin contains an element of deception that comes from the father of lies. Repentance includes renouncing the deceptions that hold us in bondage to sin and embracing the truth that sets us free by faith. And for this reason, all five keys, in a certain sense, could be considered as part of the first key. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance is all about turning away from sin, forgiving our neighbor, renouncing the lies and patterns, claiming our freedom and our authority, and then believing in the good news of the Father's love for us. So in a certain sense, all five keys are in the first one, but we pull them apart because it's helpful for us to see how they fit into our own lives. Repentance includes renouncing the deceptions that hold us in bondage to sin and embracing the truth that sets us free by faith. Repentance is an invitation to the freedom found in Christ. I'd like to share with you a little bit of my own story of freedom. A little bit of it has to do, well, a latest chapter has to do with Unbound. An earlier part has to do with my conversion. I was raised without any religion. My parents really were raised without any religion. Very good people, but just not practicing anything. And as things are more and more, I was as much raised by our culture as I was raised by my parents. And so I went to college with a lot of ideas that were distorted by the ways of the world. And two of the big ones that held me back were my pride and self-sufficiency. I really thought I could have all the answers, and I thought I could do everything on my own. And I really thought that Christians basically were too dumb to figure out the answers and too weak to do everything on their own. So I held myself above Christians as far as I knew and understood anything about Christianity. I had the blessing through an invitation to a one-on-one Bible study. Total stranger came up to me on campus at Penn State and asked me if I'd study the Bible with him one-on-one. By a small miracle, I agreed to that. Came to know Jesus through that, at least to believe in Christianity through that Bible study and the beautiful witness of this very humble and authentic man. I wasn't set free from my bondage to self-sufficiency, though. I accepted Christianity as a good idea and a good news that I could believe in, but I didn't really know how to apply that to my life. And it was after making a profession of faith, I spent a semester of studying in Germany. And during that time, I was blessed, I can say it that way now, I was blessed to confront some of my own limitations. As good as I am at school, it was pretty hard to study graduate level classes in mathematics and computer science in German. And I experienced my limitations in that. And as much as I grew up all over the place, my dad was in the Navy, going to a foreign country and a foreign culture where I was going to be stuck for months started to become a lot for me. And I really ran into my own limitations. And for the first time, had the grace to cry out to God and ask for his help. I buried my pride, and I exposed that deception that I could do everything on my own and I had all the answers. And in that process, I came to know God in a personal way. I really applied Christianity to my life in that personal way and came to know him in a personal way. And it was the beginning of my vocation to the priesthood. Out of that encounter with God, as I was set free from my pride and self-sufficiency, I discovered a desire to share this gift of personal prayer with everybody. So that unfolded in a number of chapters that eventually led me. I was actually not yet baptized at that time. I get things a little bit off, you know, a little discerning vocations and then the baptism. And anyway, it gets in there eventually. And then being baptized Catholic, I made a visit to the monastery, entered into the monastery, into priesthood. And it was another layer of freedom. Have been many layers of freedom, but there was another layer of freedom that I experienced through Unbound. I came to learn about the Unbound ministry from a conference that I attended where Neil, the author, was giving the teaching. And I had the chance to pray with him. And one of the things I was feeling some bondage about was the kind of reaction that I had to my religious superior, my abbot. And he can get a little irritated, like everybody can, I suppose. But experiencing that irritation, that little rising of anger in him when he's dealing with something or whatever, would strike such deep fear in me. And it was really disproportionate. It was really excessive. And so that was one of the things that I brought to that Unbound session. And as we walked through some things, one of the things we always ask in Unbound is, what was your relationship with your parents when you were growing up? A lot of times there are patterns that begin there or are revealed there. And it brought back a memory of a time, and I was hesitant to say anything against my dad because he's such a beautiful person and I love him so much and he was a great father. But he also had a temper that he never turned on us, but it boiled there, and I was very sensitive. I still am very sensitive. I was a very sensitive child, and I could pick up 1,000 miles away when my dad was starting to get angry. Well, we had been driving one time to a soccer tournament. Even though he was away so much being a submarine commander, whenever he was home, he was always in our lives. So not unusual for my dad to be driving me to a soccer game or a soccer tournament. And we were already running a little late and we ran into a marathon before the days of GPS. And so we didn't know we'd run into the marathon until we were in a gridlock waiting for all the runners to pass through. And my dad slowly started to realize we're not even going to be close. And he started to get really angry. And I could just see it boiling in him, and I just started shrinking into the corner of the car. I was probably, 11 or 12 years old, something like that, and just shrinking there, and my father was becoming more angry, and he even just hit the top of the car, left a dent in the roof of the car, which was an ongoing condemnation, I suppose, accusation of his anger. But and he was repentant for that later, regretted even then that he had done that. But all the same, it had left an impression on me. And I came to realize that my reaction to my abbot was tied into this same fear of anger that I had developed. So being able to pray with Neil, I was able to forgive my dad for his anger, able to forgive my abbot for his anger, was able to renounce the lie that I had held in myself, that I'm responsible for this in some way. It didn't have anything to do with me, but I took on some responsibility for making it stop or for protecting myself from it, renouncing some fear, renouncing some self-protection, and really experienced tremendous freedom, able to enter into a relationship, go back to the monastery and walk past the abbot's office and be able to interact with him in much greater freedom. So the Lord wants to set us free. Again, in big ways, my first freedom, which didn't happen specifically through the Unbound ministry, but very much the same keys of repenting of my pride and self-sufficiency, really transforming in my life and applying the gospel to my life in a personal way, really for the first time. And the smaller slaveries, maybe just having a disproportionate reaction to certain things that happen, and some areas of deeper forgiveness and repentance. These are the kinds of things God wants to do with us in this weekend. So, 4 points, 4 guidelines for approaching the Lord to seek deliverance. One is, we want to avoid extremes. One extreme would be, the devil is responsible for everything. The other extreme would be, the devil doesn't exist. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Second point, ask God for revelation. Deliverance begins with God revealing our hearts to us. He knows what we're ready to let go of. He knows what we're ready to be delivered from. It's not something that we can sort of stir up by our own effort. Seek the Lord and try your best to respond as the Lord leads you. Third point, remember that deliverance is a process. Even what I just described to you were 2 points that were separated by about 15 years. And there's an ongoing process. Just this past June, I was attending a Unbound conference that we were holding for priests, deacons, and seminarians at Franciscan University. About 260 priests, deacons, and seminarians were there. About 160 of them received prayer. It's very beautiful. A lot of freedom there. You know, and these are men that have been about this for a long time, many of us. So deliverance is a process. It's not once and done. We're not going to do everything today. But we want to enter into that process, do what the Lord is doing in us today, and then thank Him for the steps that we've made. What starts today may unfold in the next week, months, years, and leads you into fuller freedom as His beloved children. The fourth point, this is going to surprise you a little. Deliverance means moving from bondage, a place of bondage, to a place of weakness. That's not what you expected, is it? Weakness, which gets a bad rap these days, weakness by itself can be a problem, but what happens in Unbound is we're moving into a weakness that's in relationship with God's strength. It's helping us stand in ourselves, as I mentioned to you, being delivered from my pride and self-sufficiency. The deliverance for me was acknowledging that I can't do it all on my own. And that was the greatest freedom. Oh, it relieves so much anxiety. And to bring that into relationship with the one who can do it. So deliverance is always moving us from a place of bondage to a place of weakness that's in relationship with the strength of God. Weakness is always the place where we meet the Lord. Not too many people cry out to Him out of their strength. We cry out to the Lord out of our weakness. It's when we experience our weakness that we cry out to Him and we enter more deeply into relationship with Him. So, bondage is bad, weakness is good. In bondage, our freedom is limited. But in freedom, we can move to a place of weakness and dependence on God. And as St. Paul discovered in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he recounts his story of struggling with that thorn in the side. He cried out 3 times for God to deliver him, to take this thorn away from him. And then he heard the words, "My grace is sufficient for you. Power is made perfect in weakness." That's how God wants to perfect His power in us. So, it's time to respond to the Lord about these 3 aspects of repentance and faith that I mentioned in the beginning. First, we want to renew our commitment to the Lord. Maybe you've never come to Him personally, really given your life to Him in a personal way. If you've never come to Him and experienced His personal love, we want you to take the opportunity to receive that. That's going to be part of what our prayer ministry is doing tonight. tonight is really just about giving our lives more fully to the Lord. The second thing is, we want to look at any areas of our life where there's sinfulness, especially that hasn't been confessed. But we want to turn away from that sin in our life. And the third is, we want to ask the Lord, even about the second, ask the Lord for any areas of sin that you haven't confessed. And third, ask the Lord to reveal any lies that you have that have found a place in your heart. It's the truth that sets us free. So, in a few moments, we're going to pray together. And then after that, we're going to have the ministry teams. Where are we doing that? Back here? In the church. The ministry teams will be in the church. And if you want a few minutes of personal prayer ministry, we'll be available for that. Again, the ministry tonight is really about maybe just opening your heart a little bit and... But especially about just giving everything to the Lord. So we'll just lead you in a personal profession of faith and just to turn over some areas that the Lord is bringing up, just to turn those areas over to Him. We're going to go into more of the details of that in the other keys tomorrow. So I just want to invite you to stand and we can... make a little profession of faith together. And this is the kind of thing that we do quite a bit in the Unbound ministry. I'll give you the words, but I want you to pray. So, and ultimately, especially when we do this personally, that'll be an invitation for you to personalize the words if you want to. There's no need to do that, but the point is you need to be comfortable saying what you're saying. So we're not trying to manipulate you or lead you in a way that you're not ready for. So, but I'll give you the words so you don't have to think about that, and if you want to say them in a little different way. But we just want to give our lives to the Lord. So you can use my words if you want. Lord, here I am.
I offer my life to you.
I'm sorry for all the ways I have run from you.
All the ways I have provided for myself.
And made the wrong decisions. I need your help.
I need your help.
Thank you for taking my sins to the cross.
Thank you for dying in my place and giving me life.
I surrender to you, Lord.
Come and help me.
Thank you, Lord, for your love for me.
Thank you for taking me home to the Father.
And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right.